we give our children's leaders a little bit of a break. I think some weeks there may be some things on for the younger group. Next week, there'll be something on for the younger ones next week.
Okay.
You're together.
Okay.
Release that energy.
Okay.
Jerry will come. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. And I've entitled this morning's message, Releasing Kingdom Life. Releasing Kingdom Life. Those of you that were at camp, and we obviously there's got a lot of people who aren't here this morning, we want to encourage everybody in the church to get ready to save up now for camp next year. And we have a good instalment system now in operation whereby we can, if people put a bit in each week or each month, by the time they get to camp, a lot of it will have been paid. And we want to make sure that next year there's even more of us that go to Faith Camp from the church. We had a great turnout. We had a bigger unit. It was wonderful.
Fantastic.
But next year we want even more to be there. You know, you can get bed and breakfast up there if you find tenting a little bit difficult. You can get bed and breakfast. There's all kinds of accommodation in and around Peterborough. But what God did was very powerful this week as we met with him. And we're going to see the difference, actually, as a result in the coming days and weeks ahead. And those of you that didn't come, you're also going to see the great release because we're a body. So what God did with us at Faith Camp is released to you because we're part of the same body. We're connected. We're in covenant together. And therefore, that's how the Holy Spirit moves. What he does in us as a body, he'll do for everyone. If you're open to receive what God has for you, the Holy Spirit doesn't have favourites. We're always favourites. In Isaiah chapter 6, and we're talking about releasing kingdom life. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I don't know if you can catch a vision if you've seen a vision like this, but imagine the Lord in his glory. I tell you, if you have any visions of the Lord in this way, it is bright.
Yes.
It's full of glory. It's hard to put into words. But this, he saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his glory, what was all around him, literally filled the temple. Now, we've sometimes had meetings, you may have had it yourself, even when you've been on your own, that when you're praying and seeking God, it's like the presence of God comes into the room. Or for me, in my cabin. Or if it's in a meeting, comes into the meeting place. We had a meeting last year in Roffey Place. We were having a prayer meeting. And there was a sound of a rushing wind. I mean, it was a sound of a rushing wind. And this wind was, first of all, outside, because we heard the trees, the leaves on the trees were like this. The next thing we knew, the wind came actually through the building. And all the windows were closed. The wind came into the building. And starting touching people in the room. See, that's the Lord of glory.
Yes.
Now, God will do many different things.
Amen.
If we seek him, we're not seeking an experience, but we are seeking him. Some people have the experience, perhaps, of the presence of God coming in a different way. But when the Lord comes, something always will happen out of his presence.
Yes.
And Jesus is wanting to us, that's what Faith Camp is all about. It's all about meeting him in his presence and in his glory. Meeting him in his word. Meeting the Lord of glory. And it says in verse 2, above the Lord's throne stood seraphim. These are angelic beings. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. There's another evidence of the presence of God coming.
Amen.
So, and this is Isaiah's response, okay? If you meet with God, you have to respond. That's why it disturbs me sometimes when I look around. And by the way, I get very encouraged in the church when I see people responding, but I always get disturbed if there is a nil response that disturbs me. Because it means that person or people aren't meeting with God. Perhaps they're distracted, and that can happen on a Sunday morning meeting, I know that. But you know what God wants to do? He wants us to cause us to catch his presence. And when you see the Lord, when you have a sense of his presence, something happens to you. You respond in some way. Whether it's you fall down on your face, whether it's you begin to cry out in praise, whether it's you burst into tears. You know, God can manifest himself, which will affect us in different ways. But God wants us to experience his presence.
Yes, he does.
You know, when I used to go to church, all we'd experience would be hymn singing, sit up, sit down, sit up, sit down, no hand raising, no clapping, certainly no singing in tongues or singing the Spirit. And it was very regimented, and we'd hear the Word of God and preach, which was great, but there was no response. And to me, if there's no response, that's a disturbing factor. There has to be a response in our hearts, in us as a church, to the presence of God. It's a sign of the presence of God. And there's lots of churches up and down this land where the presence of God is not actually in the church. The presence of God is here.
Thank you, Jesus.
The presence of God is in this church. Yes. And we need to pray that the churches up and down this land will begin to experience the presence of his glory come. That when we meet in homes and in houses and with one another, the presence of Jesus comes amongst us. Because it will cause us to respond differently. God wants us to experience him. Young people, children, God wants you to experience him. Adults, God wants us to experience him. If you have no experience, that's not God's will. The idea of just believing up here or in here and having no experience of God is not right. God wants us to believe in here. But he also wants us to experience his power and experience his love. Otherwise, what's this all about? And it says here that Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips." When Jesus turns up, you realize just how clean you are not. When Jesus turns up, I realize that I'm not quite like him yet. I'm being transformed into his likeness, but I'm not like him enough. When the presence of Jesus comes into a meeting, or even in your own time when you're reading the Bible, you realize just how unlike Jesus you are. And one of the things that you realize is that the things that you say, the things that are in your heart and the things that you speak out are not right either. I'm not saying all the stuff is wrong, but I'm just saying that when the presence of Jesus comes, in comparison to what he is really like, we are not... There's a work in progress. Just turn to someone near you and say, "You're a work in progress." See, God is doing a work. He is progressing his work inside of you to make you more like Jesus. And he'll do it through the circumstances of life. He'll do it through the things that you go through in your daily life, in the life of the church, in your workplace and so on, in your community where you live. God has a way of showing us where we are. And Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And it says that one of the angels flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he took from the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth. Some of our mouths need to be touched this morning. I won't go around the room and tell who, because mine is included. But it says that our mouths need to be touched. And he touched my mouth to it and said, "This has touched your lips. Your sin, the things that you speak, the unclean things, the wrong things, the careless things, the negative things are taken away. Amen. Your sin is purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Who will I send? And who will go for us?'" I like that. God's an us. Not who will go for me. God says, "Who will go for us? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Who will go for us? Who will go for us? And who will I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, this is Isaiah now. Now remember, this didn't happen in 1 minute. This happened over a little period of time. He's meeting with God. The glory of God comes. And he realizes how unlike God he is. So he asked the Lord to cleanse his lips, cleanse his heart, from the things that he realized there were things that he was saying that was wrong. Now, he was a prophet. He was actually a very powerful prophet in the Old Testament. And he was actually a very holy man. He knew God. He knew God's presence. But he recognized, in comparison to the glory of God, he needed to clean his act up. I wonder if you need to clean your act up this morning. I wonder if you need to watch what you're saying and what's coming out of your heart. The Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can hear what's in your heart every day. You've probably already heard it this morning. You've heard some good things. You've probably heard some bad things, perhaps. Maybe you've heard some negative things that you yourself have spoken. Where do they come from? They came from your heart. And what Isaiah realized was he needed to be cleansed. His lips needed to be cleansed. And so he asked the Lord to cleanse him. And as a result of this, then he hears God says, who can I send? Who's going to go for me? Who's going to be sent by me? I want to send some people in my name to go and do my work. Who can I send? Well, the first thing is he needs to send people who have got a pure heart and have got great lips to speak good words. Words of truth. And Isaiah says, after this cleansing, he says, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. That was his prayer. Here am I, Lord, send me. And God did. And he sent him with the word of the Lord to God's people. Are you with me? Are you with me? So we're going to read a few scriptures together. So I've got different people to read out nice and loud so that we can follow through with the word. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, I think it is. Chapter 30. Who's got that one? I gave that to someone this morning. Who's that? Deuteronomy. That's number 2 on your sheet. Is that? Listen to these words as we speak them this morning. Let's just give out the reference.
So this is Deuteronomy 30, verse 14 to 20. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. And that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them.
Thank you. Now, some of the children are fidgety this morning, and God's peace is over them. He's coming down on them. But just keep focused this morning. Listen to what God's saying through these scriptures. It's very, very important, because it says what Rachel said there, what she read is, the word is very near you. It's in your where?
Mouth.
And in your heart. So God's word is connected. It's in our hearts and it's in our mouths.
Yes.
Now, if you don't have God's word in your heart, you'll have some other things in there. And those things tend to, when you go through a bit of a difficulty or something happens, you discover what's in your heart. Someone rubs you up the wrong way, someone says something that upset you, or something happened and you lost it. What you saw was something that was actually in your heart that came out. It wasn't from outside, it came out of your heart and you actually spoke those things. It's an attitude. So God's interested in the attitudes of our heart, that's the first thing. And he wants to cleanse us with any attitudes that aren't right. But then he wants us to speak words of life. And you have a choice. I have a choice today. It says here that I've set before you today life and good, death and evil. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. In other words, what you say will determine where you go.
Yes.
What you say will determine what happens. What you believe in your heart and what you speak out will take place. That's because it has to, because that's the way that God operates. God speaks his word. God believes himself, what he says. He speaks out the word and something is created. Something happens. And God is saying to us, and there's a strange scripture somewhere that it says God has made us like gods. Do you know the one?
Yes.
In Psalms somewhere?
Yes.
It doesn't mean that we are gods in the sense of someone's got to bow down to us. It means we are mighty ones. It means we are to be God-like. It means we are to carry the character of God in our lives. That means that we are to believe the same way that God does in his heart, and we are to speak the same things that God says. We are to be God-like in that way. We are to be mighty ones. Do you want to be a mighty one?
Yes.
Well, you are, and you can live in the might of God if you will make a decision. I'm going to choose life today in the things that I believe in my heart and the things that I say. Now, we have, in any given day, we have lots of things that go off in our day. Things that can upset us, things that can disturb us, things that can challenge us, things that can confront us, both good and bad. And we have to make a decision. I choose life today.
Yes.
And you know, what you believe in your heart, faith it's called, and what you speak with your mouth will make the difference to what happens in your circumstances, your situation. Or we can go back into unbelief and just be like everyone else in the world and speak negatively, speak bad, let the poison come out. But God doesn't want that for us. We're his people. He's cleansed us with his blood. He's made us pure. And we're to keep our hearts and mouths right so that we speak the same thing as God. I love being around people of faith, because what I hear is people who are in faith and they're speaking words of life. They're literally speaking what God says. God wants us to be like that. God wants us to be a people who are believing in our hearts and speaking words of life. So today we have a choice. Say, I have a choice.
I have a choice.
I have a choice to choose life or death.
I have a choice
to speak life or death.
Yes.
I agree with you.
I
do too. We have a choice.
Yes.
So when you're in a situation, the first thing you need to do when you're confronted with an issue that is difficult is, what does Jesus have to say about this? First thing, before you say anything, what does Jesus have to say about this matter?
What would he do?
And then engage your heart in faith in what would he do? What would he say?
Amen.
And as you know, you may need to think about that a little while longer before you say anything. That would be a wise thing to do. But as you tune into what God's reaction, what Jesus' reaction, what would he do and what would he say? Then I suggest to you, and I suggest to myself too, that we need to do and we need to say the same things that he would say. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
That's the way it works. So in your workplace, you're faced with a very difficult situation. What would Jesus do? What would he say? And God, what God wants you and me to do is to begin to choose life, that I've made a decision. I'm going to choose life today. I'm going to speak the word of God. I'm going to do what he would do. I'm going to speak what he would say. Are you with me?
Yes.
Wayne's going to read all the young children a story. Is that right, Wayne? Great, thank you. Bless you. Okay, who's got Proverbs chapter 18? That's number 3 on the list. Just come up the front and read it. Come on. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Because God wants to say something to us this morning to encourage us to be releasers of life, to release kingdom life by what we say.
Proverbs 18, verse 21. Yep. It says, the man who finds the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences.
Thank you. Did you get that? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If you speak good over not just your own life, but over other people, guess what's going to happen? You're going to bear the fruit. You're going to eat the fruit of what you've said. In fact, what you say is going to bless others. If you speak good over other people's lives, they're going to reap the fruit of what you said as well.
Yes.
This is what God is like. That's why we got saved. Because God dared to believe that someone, a sinner like me, could be saved. Someone perhaps who's in sickness could be healed. God believes in his heart and he speaks with his mouth. And God wants us to do the same thing. He wants us to speak out what we believe in our hearts. Choose life. It's all in the power of our tongue, whether we do that or not. Who's got number four? Proverbs 21, verse 23.
It says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue keeps himself from trouble.
Yeah, it says, whoever guards his mouth and tongue, keeps his soul from troubles. So we have to guard our mouth and our tongue. We need to guard our hearts, but we need to guard what we're saying so that we hold back anything that would be wrong and let our hearts be cleansed. To keep your soul from trouble. Amen? God wants to keep your soul from trouble. Let's go to the book of the letter of James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I remember when Claire and I, when we moved out of the first little flat that we were renting, we needed a property. We needed a house of our own. And we began to pray. And I have to say that I was looking in the wrong place. I was limiting God. I was going by what I had in my bank account. And I was not in a particular good place of faith. So I went for something less than what God wanted. And to cut a very long story, God gave me a dream. And in the dream, he showed me going up to a house in the village where we live. Knocking on the door and saying, oh, hello, I understand this house is for sale. And the lady said, yes, it is. It is for sale, but someone's already put their money down. There's just a formality now. I've just got to sign the forms. But if you like, you can come in and have a look round. End of dream. Some weeks later, do you know when you have a dream and you forget it?
Yeah.
And it comes back maybe 3 or 4 weeks later.
Yeah.
It's not just me that's strange, is it? So I had this dream, and it's almost like God purposely took it away. I forgot all about it. I persisted trying to go for this other house, this flat that we were after, with my limited resources and my limited faith. But God had already spoken something in a dream. No, I want you to have this house. I've got a purpose for you living in this house, what I'm going to do there. And so I remember this dream, told Claire about it, and she said to me, when I told her this dream, she said, you need to go down there now, to the house.
Amen.
Well, right now, I've just come home from work. I want my tea. She said, go down there now. So I went down there on my push bike, because that's what I had then. I had a push bike. Didn't have a car then, I don't think. I went down on my push bike, went up to the door, and guess what happened? Lady opened the door.
Hello, do you still want it?
Yes. And it happened exactly as the dream said. Lady answered. I said, that obviously the house is for sale. And by this time, it had a sailboard outside of it. It didn't when I had the dream. It had a sailboard outside of it. And she said to me, well, actually, someone else has already put their money down. It's just a formality of signing the forms. But if you like, you can come in. Guess what I did when I stepped across the doorway?
Declared it.
I possessed it.
Yes.
I owned the house the moment I walked through that door.
Yes.
What was I doing? I was confessing, not outwardly, straight away. But in my heart, I believed God had given me this house. And he provided the finances, which he did, and enabled us to put a deposit down and have the house, our first house. Why am I saying this? Because what we believe and what we speak out with our mouth, because I can tell you there was a fight on for 6 months for that house, because there were two other people in front of this that came after this person that dropped out. We weren't the next person on the list. There was someone else after them. And after they dropped out, there was someone else after them.
Wow.
And so what we were doing all the time, I was declaring, no, this is our house. No, this will be our house. God has spoken. This is going to be our house. And God will provide the finances that we don't have right now, because most of the money I'd given away anyway. And so as a result of that, God gave us our first house. Now, if you tie this together, God may give you a dream. He'll give you something out of the Word of God. It may be just in an instant. You have to make a decision. Choose life.
Yes.
Find out what Jesus would do and declare it. And sometimes in these situations where God speaks a very clear word, you need to start declaring that word. You don't have to tell everyone. Sometimes it's actually not right to tell everybody what God's told you. Yeah. You start confessing just before you and God and perhaps your wife or a close friend. Just share it there. and just leave it there until you begin to see the thing taking place. But there comes a time when we have to speak out what God says and declare, this house is mine.
Amen.
And it was a remarkable testimony of God's grace and favour, but what I learnt out of it was it's important to speak out what God says.
Yeah.
See, every time we speak out what God says, we're releasing kingdom life. We do the same things that God did on the day of creation. When he created things, he saw what he wanted to do, he believed in his heart, and he spoke words of life. Well, he wants you and me to be the same in our lives, over our families, over our mates, our friends, even over our enemies, in the workplace and wherever we go, in our towns, in Crawley, East Grinstead, Horsham, wherever we go, we need to be speaking life. We need to be declaring what God is saying. And we'll eat the fruit of what we have believed and said. Are you with me?
Yes.
So there's a lot of silent Christians, and God doesn't want believers to be silent. Believers actually speak out.
Amen.
That's a sign that they believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they speak out, when we're quiet, when we say nothing, that's not a good sign. But when we respond to what God says and start speaking out, declaring it, things start to happen. It's called faith.
Thank you, Jesus.
Faith has to speak. Faith has to do something. Faith has to say something. And as you start to believe God and declare God's word over your life, you'll find the victory will come. And you may have to work on it for a while, like most of us. It's not an instant. It's not like having instant coffee. There's something you have to do. You have to work at things in faith, in prayer, and keep declaring the things until it comes to pass. Sometimes it's like that for healing. Sometimes, praise God for the instant healings, and may we have more of them, Lord.
Yes.
I believe we're just going to see more and more what we saw at Faith Camp happen in this church. Not in the church, not just in the church, but outside of the church too, that we see instant healings. But you know, sometimes we have to work through with people. There are lots of reasons for that, but we need to work through. As long as we know what God has said, what God will do, and we see what he will do, we speak out what he says. And we'll get the answer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Exactly as he has said.
Yes.
That's why when I was dying from malaria, when I was in just about to go into a coma, that's why the Holy Spirit caused me to say, I will not die.
I will live.
I will live.
Amen.
What was that all about? That was the Spirit of God taking control because I was too weak to take control. My faith was in him, but I was weak. But what I heard myself say, I said, I will not die, but I will live.
Amen.
What was that? That's speaking out God's word.
Yes.
God responds to his word, and I'm here to tell the tale. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's go to James 1 and verse 26. Are you already there?
Yes.
Sorry. I'm just catching up. James 1 and verse 26, and it says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And we learn that religion is looking after widows and orphans and showing that kind of love. But he's basically saying, if a person does not have control over their tongue, then what they do is, if you like, cancelled out. So it's no good doing great things for orphans and for widows or for anyone, come to that, if we're undoing it by the things that we say. It's saying that we're deceiving ourselves. God wants us to live out the life, and he wants our words to match what we're living. This makes sense.
Yes.
I want to encourage you this morning. Jesus is living in you.
Amen.
His spirit is in you today, and he will help you 100% of the way and enable you to see what he is doing and speak what he says. If you'll just give yourself to him in this. James chapter 3. Let's look at there. Just a couple more scriptures. James chapter 3. My brothers, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths so that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member. Just say little member. The tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire. a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. That's a really powerful scripture. That's when if the Holy Spirit isn't not in charge of your tongue, if you don't let God take control of your tongue, you're allowing something else to take control. No, verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Are you getting the picture? So God wants it to be the same in our hearts. The same spring water in our hearts needs to spring out of our mouths.
Amen.
And when we do something contrary, it means that we're not living closely in the Spirit with God. God wants there to be a release. Hello? The big plants arrived. Let's go to, who's got number 5 here? Ephesians 4. Okay, Martin? Listen to these great words. The importance of speaking God's word, speaking what he says.
Ephesians 4, 29 to 32.
Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Amen. What great word of God. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Only what is good for necessary edifications, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So our job as believers is to impart grace to people around us. Impart grace. Impart God's grace. How do we do that? By speaking. By speaking words of God. I don't mean just reading scriptures, just reading a chapter of Jeremiah out to someone. But releasing God's word, which may well be a scripture, but releasing life from your heart, from your tongue, building people up. That's what the word edification means. That we're here to build one another up, aren't we?
Yes.
And we do it through words, we can do it through texts, we can do it by ringing someone, we can do it by calling around to see people. But we're here to build one another up through right words, right speaking. And then number 6, who's got that? Mark 11. That's Wayne. Mark 11, verse 20 to 24.
But here we go, 20. The following morning, as they returned to the city, they saw the fig tree Jesus had cursed had shriveled from its roots. Remembering what Jesus had done, Peter said, "Rabbi, look, that fig tree you cursed, it has withered." Jesus answered, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth. If anyone speaks to a mountain by saying, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' the mountain will be moved for him, so long as he does not doubt it in his heart, but truly believes what he says must happen. So I tell you, no matter what you ask in prayer, believe it's yours already, and it will be yours."
Amen.
These are words of life that we're listening to this morning. These are words of life that God has given to us. And it's saying that if you have a mountain, if you have a problem, if you have a difficulty in front of you, we've often talked about it in the church here, but we need to remind ourselves, it says, what does it say about the mountain? What have we got to do to the mountain? Speak to the mountain. Words. Don't pray about the mountain. You may need to listen to what God has to say to you first, but then you need to speak to that mountain, whether it's sickness or an obstacle or something that's blocking the way, something that needs a solution. You begin to listen to God and see what does God want to do? And what does God have to say about this matter? And then you speak God's word. and you command that obstacle, that mountain, to be moved out of the way. Where do you do that? In prayer. Do it with others. Speak to the mountain. Command it to go. And start declaring the things that God wants to put in place of the mountain. Start receiving. That's what Wayne just read. You receive the answers to your prayer. Receive it in your heart here. Start receiving what God gives to you. And declare the truths of God.
Amen.
This is the way that we release the God's kingdom, his life, into our own lives, into our families, into the church, into our towns, over this nation. That's why we pray for revival in this nation. We never stop praying for revival. We declare an outpouring of the Spirit so that the whole of this nation will have another opportunity to turn to Christ for a generation, for a whole generation. That's why we keep speaking out that God will turn this godless society around to him, turn the tide, because we believe that God has a plan and a purpose for our nation, don't we, as believers? And so it's not just going to happen autopilot, it'll happen because we pray, because we believe in our hearts and we speak out, we pray out those things that God has spoken to us. This is why God calls us his body, that we actually are his body, therefore we are his hands and his feet, we're his mouthpiece, we are who he is here on earth. That's an awesome responsibility.
Wow.
That the Bible says, doesn't it, in John, as he is, so are we on this earth. So people in the world need to hear and see what he's like by the things that we do and the things that we say. And then let's finally go to Revelation chapter 12. Just turn there with me. Revelation chapter 12. And then we're going to respond. It'll just be important that we respond to this word this morning. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. It says, so the great dragon, that's talking about Satan, was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice. You know God's got a loud voice.
Yes.
He doesn't just speak silently, quietly. He does sometimes. But you know, God has a loud voice as well. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Listen, some of you this morning get easily accused. It's like the devil accuses you. It's called the devil is called the slanderer. And if you have things going off in your mind that's accusing you, making you feel shame or guilt over things that you know is under the blood of Jesus being forgiven, you need to command that the enemy to be quiet. And it says here that God gives his people, the believers, he gives them power. And it says in verse 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that's by the blood of Jesus, and by the word of their testimony. That means they were speaking the word of God over their particular problem, over their particular difficulty. And if you have accusations or you feel you're less than what you should be, start speaking the truth. Don't listen to those lies. You've got to learn to handle the lies of the enemy, because the enemy will always accuse God's people. It won't stop until we get to heaven, but we can do something about it. And what we do, we need to confront those lies with the truth of God's word. So we need to listen to what God's saying and start speaking. Find truth in here that matches, comes against those lies that are going on in our heads. I know, because I lived under it for years. Listening to the wrong thing. Listening to the negativity that said, you'll never amount to much. You can't do this. You won't be able to do that. This can't possibly happen for you. And the more I tuned into what God said and changed it, said, I'm not listening to those lies. If you're listening to lies, stop listening to the lies.
Yeah.
As I say, these are lies. These do not match what's written in here.
Amen.
This does not match with what my Jesus says about me or says about this person. I refuse to believe it. I speak to the mountain. I silence the devil. I silence you, Satan, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Be quiet. That's what Jesus used to say to demons. Be quiet so that they can't give any more noise. And then start putting something in the place of that demonic activity. Start filling your mind with the truth. Start speaking out the word of God, what God has to say about you as a believer and about us as a church, about you in your workplace.
about you in your family, in your with your finances, in relationship to other people. Start speaking out what God says. And I tell you, you're going to start releasing kingdom life. You're going to release the life of the kingdom, not just in your own life, but in the lives of those around you. It's powerful stuff. That's why we're to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, so that his will shall be done. By believing in our hearts and speaking out what he says. Amen? I want to challenge you and encourage you this morning. Put this into practice today. In fact, just before we finish, we're going to sing the song, Nothing is Impossible for You. But as we sing the song, as we come to the end of the song, I just want us for a few minutes to start to declare. Start to speak out things over your own life this morning. It's not just about having needs. Not everyone here has great needs this morning. Some of you do. But let's start to speak out. Let's stand to our feet, shall we? And just respond to this word this morning. Because God has been speaking to us and he's saying to us, in order to release my kingdom life, you need to believe in your heart and ask the question, what would Jesus do? And what does he say? And then we need to do the same things that he is doing and speak the same thing that he is saying. Does this make sense? So right now, just where you are, just start praying over your own life. Don't worry about what's happening around you. Just start to declare the truth over your life, over perhaps you have a particular matter that's a concern to you this morning. What does Jesus want to do in that situation? And what does he say? And start agreeing with God this morning. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Start seeing what he is doing and start hearing what he is saying. And begin to declare it. This is why it's important to know what the Bible says. You can start speaking out his word and start releasing kingdom life. Just speak out now. Just speak out to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You'll change this situation around, Lord. It will not stay the same. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I lack no good thing. If you're short with money, just begin to declare that God will give you a good job. God will bless you with finances. He wants to prosper you. In every part of your life, just begin to speak it out. Just come against any lies this morning, anything negative stuff that's going on around in your mind. Just come against that. Command those negative things to be quiet this morning in the name of Jesus. And just begin to declare the truth of what God says. Thank you, Lord. Speak good over your own life. God wants to use you. God wants to make you fruitful. God wants you to be a success. God wants you to be a man or a woman of God. God wants you to hold your head up high. God wants you to be free. He wants you to be walking in liberty. He wants to break those things that have restricted you and bound you. Thank you, Jesus. You have to start speaking it. That's what God's saying. You have to start speaking out those things. Come against those negative things and release life. Choose life today, not death. Choose life today. I choose life, Lord. I choose to believe what you say more than what I see. I choose to believe more, Lord, what you have to say and what you're doing, what you're showing me, Lord. Yes. And I step into it. I declare it this morning, Lord. I'm a man of faith. I'm a woman of faith.
Yes.
We are the family. We're a household of faith here.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord. What we say will come to pass. What we declare will happen.
Yes.
We praise you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you start putting this into practice, spend time in the presence of God. And just say, what would Jesus do in this matter? It's a great way to pray. What would Jesus do? And then start declaring it. This is what Jesus did. Therefore, I believe that this will happen. Start speaking out God's word. It's called prayer. This is how we're to pray. What would Jesus do? What will God do in my work situation, with my neighbors, with my family? What would Jesus do? Then I must begin to declare and pray out those things so that those things will happen. They will come to pass. Break every negative thing this morning, Lord. Just break curses this morning. Anything, you know, words can become curses over people's lives. We just break every curse this morning. In the name of Jesus, we stop the mouth of the lion. We rebuke every negative thought, every slanderous accusation going on in people's minds this morning, Lord. We bind those things this morning. We command the enemy to be quiet. In the name of Jesus, we silence the enemy's words.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you this morning for a release of life. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're speaking truth over our lives today. You're singing over us, Lord, with your love. Father, thank you that the future is bright, Lord. The future is full of hope, full of your glory, Lord, full of power, Lord. We declare, Lord, that we will walk in your victory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.